Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Brothers and sisters, welcome to our time of prayer and scripture reading. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Thank you for joining me. Let's turn to the Lord. Let's put ourselves in His presence. You can offer, mention prayer intentions if you like in the comments, and we will pray together and delve into the scriptures for today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we ask you to give us the gift of joy. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is a characteristic of pro-life work done in your name. We thank you for the joy that comes from serving life and saving life, from witnessing to life and defending life. Bless us today with joy in every aspect of our Christian walk and our embrace and living of your commands. We ask this through Christ our risen Lord. Amen. The reading today comes to us from the Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete." Well, friends, joy is a gift, a fruit, an expression, a sign of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. We see in the Psalms, I will quote to you a little bit here from Psalm 119, how joy is a mark of fulfilling the commands. We were made according to the Word of God. In other words, the Word of God, the truth of God, is the plan of God, the mind of God. And we were made in accordance with that as a pattern. You might say the law of God is the blueprint for human nature. And that's why we see so often in Scripture, whether it's in this passage we just read with Jesus speaking the night of the Last Supper, or going back to the Psalms, for example, when we hear about God's law, that we see that the fulfillment of His law brings joy. You know, when we obey His commandments, it's not like, oh, here's the checklist of what I have to do, so yes, okay, I'll do it. It's deeper than that. It's like, wow, this is my fulfillment. Remember when Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of my Father"? That's a very profound statement, because food becomes who we are and it sustains our life. So to say, "My food is to do the will of my Father," my fulfillment, my life, my joy is to do the will of the Father. So listen to these words from Psalm 119. For example, verse 16, "I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Verse 24, "Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors." And then again in verse 32, "I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart." There is joy. "You enlarge my heart in the fulfillment of your commands." We have another expression in teaching. In fact, it's the same occasion as Jesus gives the word we heard in the gospel today, that he also talks about joy in the context of the birth of a child. And this is where the fulfillment of God's commands in terms of choosing life and rejecting abortion, and the joy we have not only from doing that, but the joy we have from defending life as pro-life warriors, is reflected in this passage from John 16. He says, "A little while and you will," let me go to verse 20. Jesus is talking about his departure, right? The next day he'll be crucified. He'll be absent from his disciples. And that will bring them sorrow. So in verse 20, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament while the world rejoices. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. And then in verse 21, he starts using the example of childbirth. He says, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Okay, a few different layers of meaning here. You have sorrow now. What is Jesus talking about? Well, on one level, he's talking about the days right after he's crucified and buried. Intense sorrow and pain and fear on the part of these disciples. But then joy again in the resurrection. But you can also take these words to mean, you know, you will have sorrow now. In other words, this whole period of time prior to my second coming, prior to you passing into the life to come when you will see me face to face in glory, and you will have, as he says in the next verse here that we didn't read, you will have no more questions to ask me. Your joy will be completely full. You will see God face to face. But this whole life, it's the veil of tears, right? We are living in the shadow of darkness, shadow of death, the veil of tears. Because this life is limited, because we still have to struggle with sin and death, because we still have to fight against things like abortion. But the joy is coming in the final victory of truth and grace and freedom and life. And he says that a woman in about to give birth is in sorrow. Now, you can think about the discomfort of pregnancy, especially in those final months, and the pains of labor. In fact, St. Paul will use this, right, when he speaks to the Romans. He says, all creation is groaning like as if in the labor pains, as it struggles to give birth to the new heavens and the new earth. Why? Because the process is underway of purification from sin. The process is underway, as Jesus uses in many other examples, the dragnet, for example. Kingdom of God is like the fishermen dragging in the net. And then what do? They separate what is good from what is useless. And so the angels at the judgment will separate those who are ready for the kingdom of heaven, which the book of Revelation says, if you have practiced virtue, but if you are instead sorcerers, adulterers, idolaters, thieves, robbers, liars, you can't get into the kingdom of heaven. So it is here that there's this period of sorrow. There is this pain of separation from evil. So a woman in labor, you could say there's labor pains, but you can also extend it beyond that and say the whole period of pregnancy may be a time of pain and sorrow precisely because of the kind of uncertainty that can lead to the temptation of abortion. What am I going to do? How am I going to raise this child? How am I going to adjust to this situation that I wasn't anticipating where all my plans have to change? And again, it's the labor pains of learning to love. You know, we talk about crisis pregnancy in the pro-life movement, right? In a sense, as pro-life psychiatrist Philip Ney explains, every pregnancy is a crisis in the best sense of the term, even if it's something well planned for, expected, and wanted. Why? Because it's a fork in the road where you need to grow. Especially if it's your first pregnancy, you're going to be growing beyond your comfort zone where if it was just you or just you and your boyfriend or husband, now it's you, the father of the child, and the child. So new responsibilities, new demands on your time, on your plans, your center of gravity is shifting. And now you have to grow beyond and stretch beyond. The stretching of the body in childbirth is symbolic of the stretching of the limits of your whole comfort zone and your whole life and all your relationships. Once that child is now, well, the child is in your life as soon as pregnancy begins, but once now you are involved in caring for a born child, there's a lot of stretching that's involved. So Dr. Ney talks about, with every pregnancy, a mom and by extension the dad and grandparents and everyone in the family are going to have to choose whether to expand and mature or to shrink back and stay in immaturity. And it's part of that shrinking back, that failure to grow, that unwillingness to change that constitutes then the temptation to abortion. That's why Mother Teresa explained in her famous prayer breakfast speech that the way we end abortion is that we're teaching the mom to love, constantly teaching her to forego her plans, her priorities, her desires, and instead to say, this is my body given for you. This is my life. Sacrifice, not necessarily physically sacrificing life as in the end of life, but rather, again, my energies, my plans, my priorities, sacrificed for you that you might have life. Now, I have here a copy of Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life, the greatest statement that the Church has made on abortion and on the sanctity of life in general. St. John Paul II begins this encyclical. Now, you might think, oh, it's going to be encyclical on abortion. It's going to be somber and sad and sorrowful and serious. There are very serious passages in this document. Read it, by the way, at gospeloflife.org. But he starts on the theme of joy. Listen to this: these opening two paragraphs of this encyclical. The Gospel of Life. The title of these documents, by the way, are always taken from the first words of the document. So the first words of the Gospel of Life document are the Gospel of Life. He goes on to say, is at the heart of Jesus' message, lovingly received day after day by the church. It is to be preached with dauntless fidelity as good news to the people of every age and culture. At the dawn of salvation, it is the birth of a child which is proclaimed as joyful news. I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall come to all the people, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Luke chapter 2. The source of this great joy is the birth of the Savior. But Christmas also reveals the full meaning of every human birth. And the joy which accompanies the birth of the Messiah is thus seen to be the foundation and fulfillment of joy at every child born into the world. And then he references the passage I just read to you from John chapter 16. And the passage we read in today's gospel reading is from the previous chapter, where Jesus is talking about joy, and he's associating joy with the birth of a child. So once again, the contrast. What do? In the pro-life movement? We go into the sorrowful part, the painful period prior to the birth of the child, the period of doubt, anguish, uncertainty, maybe a temptation to abort, a time perhaps of despair. It's not freedom of choice that leads someone to the door of an abortion facility. It's the lack of freedom and choice. It's the feeling that they have no freedom and no choice. It's despair that leads you to the door of an abortion facility. And what do we do as the church? And what do we do as the pro-life movement? And what do we do when we counsel people in pregnancy centers, or we sidewalk counsel, or we just speak to someone who is pregnant and in need and confused, or when we preach from the pulpit about this? We jump into that world of confusion and despair, and we bring hope. And by bringing hope, we bring the strength to say yes to life. And by bringing that, we bring joy. Notice what John Paul is saying. Every birth is marked by the joy reflected in that joyful announcement of the birth of the Savior. That's why, as we teach the spirituality of pro-life, and you can find this at missionariesofthegospelofLife.org, missionariesofthegospelofLife.org, we have entire programs on this training of people in pro-life as not just a cause or a movement or a political position, but as a spirituality. One of the key marks of that spirituality, one of the key marks and characteristics of our work for pro-life is joy. Life is a joyful thing. Defending life, must always be a joyful thing. Even in the midst of the opposition we get, we stand up and we say, we are joyful in the Lord. Why? Because he's risen and he's already conquered the power of death. Therefore, he has already conquered abortion. Let's ask him for that joy each day. Let's spread that joy, which is a key aspect of the culture of life. Let's spread that joy to every corner of our world. Amen. Father, give us the joy of Christ. Give us the joy of the Spirit. Give us the joy that comes from fulfilling your commands, especially that which says to welcome and defend life. Fill us with joy, Lord God, for rejoicing in the Lord. As the prophet in the book of Nehemiah says, rejoicing in the Lord must be our strength. Bless the world with the strength to welcome life and to rejoice in every birth. And bless us now, Lord, as we renew our commitment to defend life. And as we intercede for each and every one of us, as we intercede for an end to abortion, as we intercede for the election of pro-life candidates at every level, and as we intercede for all the needs that we all have right now. And we pray in the words Jesus taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. One of the titles of Our Lady is Cause of Our Joy, because she's the cause of our life. And we pray to her now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Friends, thank you for joining me for these scripture reflections. Let others know about these programs. There's some people you can reach that we can't. Let's continue to expand our audience. And God bless you in your work for life.
This is Father Dennis Wild, Pastoral Associate of Priests for Life. Been in the organization for 25 years, and it's marvelous because I want to tell you today about financial support for one of our most effective pro-life ministries in the world. Priests for Life has been leading the fight against abortion for decades. We are led by a strong and varied team of pro-life activists and experts in mobilizing churches, electing pro-life candidates, leading prayer efforts, publishing and broadcasting, healing the wounds of abortion, uniting pro-life leaders in strategy, meetings, defending life in the international arena. All of this, Priests for Life does not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have very high evaluations among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor. Or you can call us at 321-500-1000. That's 321-500-1000. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.